Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your week out there. We're going to kick things off the way we like to with our friend Brittany Merlot talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. Happy Monday. How are you guys doing?
Doing good here.
Not as chipper as you. My goodness.
It's the last week of 2024, right? We've got this.
Yeah, we do.
Full marks, lady. Yes, full marks.
Yes, yes. Well done.
Put that in the rearview mirror.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're looking at 2025. And what kind of weather are we looking at this week, Brittany?
Well, you know, we've got a little bit of everything for everyone. We've got that dense fog advisory still in effect until noon today, and it's freezing fog in a lot of places. Temperatures right now at Wisconsin Rapids are 27 degrees, so some slippery surfaces out there. But otherwise, we are looking at some sun trying to peek out later on this afternoon, replaced by more clouds, of course, by this evening. High temperatures today will be in the upper 30s. We will fall back below freezing tonight to the upper 20s with more patchy freezing fog possible through tomorrow morning. And then we've got a system sliding by. It's actually going south of the state into Illinois, but it is going to fling chances of some light freezing rain and also some snowflakes out there too. So tomorrow, a wintry mix, where we're just looking at trace of accumulation, but enough to make it hard to travel, especially if you're going anywhere for New Year's Eve. So the good news is by the evening, we're winding down to just flurries. We're not looking at any major accumulations. And then as we go into New Year's Day, it's the last day of holding on to some decent temperatures, partly sunny skies in the mid-20s before we slide cold for the rest of the week and into the new year.
This weather. I mean, I don't know. I had nothing on that. So I just, it feels like just like as the weather is our kind of segue when we're on the elevator around strangers. I'm like, this weather, right? I mean, sometimes there's just nothing else to say about it. It's this weather.
How do you describe it? Make sure you got a kit in your car to be prepared for any possibilities, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yep. And make sure you have all that warm gear in there because, winter's around the corner.
We are that much more prepared thanks to you. You have a great morning, Brittany.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany.
Best in the business right there from Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot. We got good things coming up for you in every time slot, in every segment this morning. Good things coming up in just a little bit. We're going to get into our preferred method of hand-holding is changing. Got that one covered up. We're going to talk murder hornets, Party City, and TikTok's table pancake that we got to get into that as well. Got another one for us, a couple of other ones for us, Melissa, including one that you sent over in our good stories of the day. We'll get into a little bit later about a young lady from Chicago doing some really groundbreaking work.
Okay.
That one is coming up for you, and we'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour the way we like to around here on a Monday with the kitchens open. Beth Habhacker will be joining us.
Right.
Got that coming up for you. Some entertainment news as well, and in the 9 o'clock hour, we will get into a couple of other fun ones, like collector's items you can stop collecting. You can stop. It's all done. No point. But I thought the most proper way to kick off our show, and we do hope everybody had a good weekend and everything out there. With the holidays in the middle of the week, our weekends can feel a little funky, a little weird.
Yeah, but, you know, a little weird.
Hopefully people enjoyed their weekend out there. But I felt like the most proper way to start our show would be with the breaking news over the weekend of the passing of President Jimmy Carter. Former president.
Yeah.
Georgian peanut farmer who vowed to restore morality and truth to politics in an era of the White House scandal who had redefined post-presidential service. There's plenty that already has been said and that will be said about Mr. Carter over the next couple of days and really over the next, all of our lifetimes. He is, and that would not maybe have happened. Jimmy Carter served, it was a single term president. The year I was born, he went into office and was until 81. And by the time that I was old enough to understand things, one of my first memories of him is of the people on different talk shows and things kind of taking shots at him. And so my earliest memories of the first president when I was born are of people kind of shredding him and talking about what he didn't accomplish and what he didn't do and some of these things. And him almost being used in, as an example of what you don't want to have as a presidential legacy. And as time went on, and as 24-hour news cycles kicked in and people looked for more and more to talk about, people actually started to do a little homework and starting to pay attention to Mr. Carter and the things that he was always doing. But they started to realize what he was doing with Habitat for Humanity or some of his work overseas. And Jimmy Carter completely changed the way we look at presidents and the way that we would look at them after their term. Whether you had a, quote, good run or a, quote, bad run as a president, oftentimes you kind of just faded off until the sunset.
If not, just
passing after your presidency. That was the next time we kind of talked about you, was so-and-so was president. Jimmy Carter changed all that and changed this legacy. And I think you can make in many ways, I think you can make an argument. He is everything that we ask for out of the presidency. He gave the time that he was in office. Every time that when he was serving in politics, he gave everything he had, and he gave you a genuine human being. And he fought for his constituents, whether he was running in Georgia or whether he was running the country. And then afterwards, he kept doing it. He didn't stop. Now, we commend our soldiers for this. Almost every single soldier that you know out there and that we have on the air with us, this is the way they are. I've talked with Sheriff Becker many times about this when we talk about our police officers and how many police officers out there are still chasing cold cases. Even though they're not getting paid for this, they're still working at the job.
Right.
This is what Mr. Carter did. And as big as his legacy has gotten in the last 20, 30 years of his life, it's not big enough. And I don't know that we've paid enough respect to what it means and how he changed the game and the way that what we expect of our presidents. Yeah. We should not fear a president. Nobody feared Jimmy Carter. Nobody should have feared Ronald Reagan after him, and so on and so on. And if we have to fear a president, anybody, that is a bad sign. Jimmy Carter was the standard. He turned into the standard. He went from a joke to the standard. And that is the American way. That is the American dream. That is a comeback story, baby. That's what that is. And I'm touching on just light things of him, Melissa.
Right. Yeah, he truly dedicated his life to service.
One thing that I thought would be fun was going over some of the things that maybe you didn't know about Mr. Jimmy Carter and some random facts. You can find these at GeorgiaHumanities.org, GeorgiaHumanities.org. Jimmy Carter was the first U.S. president born in the hospital.
I did see that. That's interesting.
I love that one. I love that one. And I think it's also kind of wild when you think about it. Like he wasn't the third, fourth president or something.
No, but if you look at the history of gynecological care throughout history, it's not that surprising.
Yeah. His first job was working at a library.
Wow.
That was the first time that he worked. So his first job was actually in public service. Jimmy skipped school and missed out on being valedictorian. In 1941, during his 11th year at Plains High School in Georgia, he did not add 12th grade until the adaption of a new state constitution in 1945. Jimmy was set to be valedictorian, but he lost a position after he and other senior boys left school on April Fool's Day and went to America's.
Senior skip day as a junior.
Yeah. Before he was a peanut farmer, state senator, governor, and president, Carter served as a submariner in the U.S. Navy. Carter is also believed to be the first president to live in public housing.
Oh.
That's an interesting one, too.
That is an interesting one.
The Carter started the tradition that we see today when they walked in the inaugural parade. We still see that many times now. He was also one of the first presidents where constituents and, quote, you know, I don't know if it's proper to say fans of his, but fans of his actually traveled to that parade from Georgia to see him.
Wow.
Carter was a baseball fan for life, diehard baseball fan. Carter got to shake Hank Aaron's hand the day he broke the National League record for most home runs. which I could only imagine was one of the greater, like, higher things for him. And keep in mind, Jimmy Carter was a prolific author. In addition to his post-presidency work with the Carter Center in Habitat for Humanity and numerous other charities, and how he literally changed the world for other countries. Carter penned more than 30 books about his life, really? Career, and experiences.
Wow.
Subjects ranging from all over the place. He even won 3 Grammy Awards in the spoken word album category.
I did not know that.
Carter was a Grammy winner.
Wow.
Cool. Just a prolific life, an mm-hmm. incredible life. And again, not only a citizen of the South, a citizen of the world.
Hmm.
And will be missed. Not just for what he did, but for what he set, the tone he set.
Mm-hmm.
And the tone.
And something for future presidents to you know, strive for after their presidency. I hope we see that.
If I can add to that, Melissa, not just strive for, but what we as citizens should expect and demand.
Hmm.
We should accept nothing less. This is America. This is our country. Jimmy Carter set the standard. We should not settle for less. We don't have to. We don't have to.
Hmm. But it's on us to vote people into office that have those qualities that will do those things after their presidency.
Yes, that's why I said we don't have to settle. We can make these changes ourselves. We can do this. Just wrapping up a quote from Mr. Carter. We must adjust to changing times and still hold to unchanging principles.
Hmm.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
That is a good one.
The man had bars. Man could write. I just thought I wanted to find a fun note to wrap up the opening monologue here with. And I think I got a good one here. And one that just everybody says dough as soon as they see or hear the headline. California's couple's engagement photo shoot in snowy Utah took a turn for the worse when their engagement ring vanished into the winter wonderland.
Oh, no.
Kim Zaw, 33, and Phil Mao, 34, were having an engagement photos taken in Park City when photographer Sabrina Boca noticed the ring was missing from Zaw's finger.
Oh, no.
He didn't know the ring was missing for like 10 minutes because his hands were cold.
Mm. Yeah.
They went looking and looking for a while, and the Park City Ski Patrol even responded with a metal detector to help out.
I was going to say, where's the metal detectorist?
They did find the ring, everybody. They did find the ring. A similar mishap occurred earlier this month in Cleveland when firefighters ended up needing to be called to rescue the engagement ring that fell down a sewer during
a photo shoot. Yeah, we did that story. That's so cool.
Can I just offer a thought on this one that I had the other day? Because I have to say that I've done at least 30 or 40 of these in my time doing the morning show.
Mm.
Prop ring. Come on. Get a prop ring. Get a prop ring in there. Is anybody in engagement photos looking at the ring? Can you even see the ring
that
well?
It depends on the photos, James.
Oh, come on. Then do the photo different. Then do the photo different. As much as these rings cost or as much sentimental value as there is?
Or don't put so much pressure on jewelry and rings. I mean,
you know what? If I'm ever in that situation, and let's just all have a laugh at that idea. If I'm ever in that situation, I'm not only using a prop ring, I'm doing one of those nice and gated, you know, beautiful shoot, you know, we're in front of some trees or we got the ocean in the background or whatever. And below us is a big tarp, just a big tarp, big blue tarp that we've all seen our whole lives. Mm-hmm. Just there waiting to catch
that
ring.
Just to catch the ring.
Because I would probably drop it. I would probably do that.
Yeah, it could happen.
I don't think a prop ring is a bad idea. I don't think it's a horrible idea. I do. You have a strong point about if the camera is on the ring. Yeah, you can't do it.
I mean,
or you can Photoshop it in. Photoshop the ring in.
Either way, you're just adding more cost, James. Prop rings cost money. And to be, you know, like the ring I wanted was only $300. The person I chose to marry refused to buy that for me. He had to buy something far more expensive. Guess how, you know, much use I got out of that ring?
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear it because it was too expensive.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I would feel the same way.
It sits in a jewelry box.
I not a prop ring, maybe just one of those like the candy rings with the big diamond on it.
The sucker.
Yes,
the big sucker. Perfect.
I like the idea of a beautiful, classy, expensive picture. One of those pictures you could tell it's expensive just from looking at it,
and then a brilliant blue sucker ring.
Oh, I love that it's blue. Yeah. Melissa and James taking you through your morning. We'll be right back here on the show. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards tomorrow.
They are not open today.
Yep, they are not open today. But head on over there, everybody, tomorrow. Make plans to head on over there tomorrow. Talk to the amazing staff. Check out that wonderfully unique menu. And, of course, all the other wonderful things about our friends at El Cafe.
Pie. They have so much good pie.
We appreciate our friends over there. Buy local, support local, support those that support us, everybody. I mean, looking forward in the new year, Ashley and I were talking last week about some fun ideas with our friends over at El Cafe. Mm. Some stuff that you and I have been talking about for a while, Melissa, that I think we might be able to make happen.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're looking to do some cool things with our friends at El Cafe next year. It's going to be a lot of fun, everybody. For now, get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Get them to us, everyone. You can email us, info@wfhr.com. Feel free to hit us up on Facebook, just like either of our pages, and direct message us that way. And, of course, you can call up.
That's right, 715-424-2600, or just one or, two button dialing with the Civic Media app.
Appreciate you calling, and we love live birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Give them to us. We take a look at our local list, and we have two possible qualifiers. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
I'm going to choose one today.
All right. I like it. Nice. All right. That gives us our qualifier. So first up, we can wish a very happy birthday to Bill Fuller.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Enjoy your day, Bill. Hope it's a great one for you. And wishing a happy 24th anniversary to Chuck Brody and Carol One Row Brody from One Row's Greenhouse.
Aw, happy anniversary.
A big shout out to One Row's Greenhouse. Been there many times over the years. Wonderful people, wonderful place. And a big happy anniversary to Chuck and Carol.
Yeah, have a great day.
Enjoy your anniversary, you two. This is a unique day, I feel like, to have an anniversary. I think that's a fun one. Mm-hmm. Like you could just lead it.
Squash it right in between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah. And you lead right into the New Year, use it as, celebrate, man. That's a fun one. You're already partying. You're already having fun on New Year's. So, that's a great idea. Good one. And a happy anniversary to you, too.
Indeed.
We take a look at our celebrity list of birthdays. Actress Tracy Ullman is 64 today.
Really?
In her height, Tracy Ullman was one of the greatest impersonators and the greatest, one of the more versatile, creative, comedic actors we had. Still is. But the Tracy Ullman show was fantastic and a huge influence on me as a kid. So many great actors on that show that would go on to do great things, like The Simpsons, because we would not have The Simpsons without the Tracy Ullman show. They needed something. Tracy wanted to do a live sketch. She wanted it to be similar to SNL. She wanted to have live sketches along with recorded sketches. When they would do the live sketches, of course, the actors, as you and I know very well, had to change costumes and everything. What do you do during that time? And you don't have enough time to go to a new commercial break. They needed something to play in between. So they had the idea to have a cartoon playing. They reached out to local cartoonists in the California area. And Matt Groening was one of them. And at the time, he had a very, very popular comic, Life in Hell. And that's what he thought he was going to use as the intros, between the sketches and everything. That was not what he went with. They ended up going with The Simpsons, and here we are.
She had her hit number two on the UK singles chart. They don't know for Stiff Records, but the album, I just want to mention this, You Broke My Heart in 17 Places.
It's a good name. It's a good name. Incredible performer. Just an incredible and great impersonator, too. Yeah, Tracy Ullman, very good in impersonations. One of the greatest golfers of all time, Tiger Woods, is 48 today.
48. Wow, it seems like he should be older than that.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Many would say that, I don't know. There's plenty of debate whether he's the greatest golfer of all time or not, here or there. You cannot deny that he changed golf more than anybody.
Yeah.
More everybody, than
anybody. Everybody knows his name.
Yeah. And, well, and
there, even if you're not a fan of golf.
There are a billion kids that didn't look like your average golfer before him that picked up a golf club after him. The doors he opened. There are still segregated golf clubs in America. And,
really?
And but there are less thanks to him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look into the history of the Masters for a second. And yeah, you'll be disgusted by it. Hopefully you'll be disgusted. Some might not be, I suppose. But yeah, there's a lot of history there with golf that Tiger Woods really broke. It's crazy to think of breaking color barriers when he did, but in many ways he did. It's not to put him up there with Jackie Robinson or anything, but it's in a similar category.
Well, and it has a positive effect where it is much needed still in today's day and age.
Don't see this very often, two legends sharing a birthday like this in their particular field. Tiger Woods there. LeBron James is 39 today. King James. On the cover of SNL at like 8, SNL, on the cover of Sports Illustrated at I think 17 or 18 years old. Very few athletes in our lifetimes have had more hype put on their shoulders, and even fewer have lived up to it. Like, this is the thing about him that I don't think gets talked about nearly enough. For every accomplishment, for everything he did it unlike, and I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan you're going to find, unlike Michael, unlike Will Chamberlain or Magic Johnson or Larry Bird or anybody else, he did this with all that pressure on him. Like, at a young age. There's plenty of pressure that was put on Magic and Bird and Michael and all these guys. Nothing like what was put on him. And including as LeBron James became a star in the turn of the social media time, as something that none of those other athletes I mentioned had to deal with.
Had to deal with, yeah.
LeBron James has been a star in all this time, and outside of one situation I can think of, pretty much has avoided controversy. Like, he's a billionaire. Like, the things that man, I'm not even a big LeBron James fan, being honest, but I believe giving credit where it's due and what he has accomplished is incredible. And again, this was all put on his shoulders in Akron, Ohio at the age of 18, and he's lived up to every bit of it. That's incredible to me. you can make an argument he's even higher than expectations. That's wild. That's just wild.
And recent game, one against the Warriors, 115 to 113. That's a close game.
Yeah, I didn't even get to mention that. He's 39 or 40 years old and still averaging a double-double in the NBA. He's still one of the greatest top 10 players in the NBA.
Played 37 minutes worth 31 points.
It's insane. It's just insane. It's great. And he did something that nobody's ever done before, for whatever nonsense you want to say about it. He got to play a game with his son. Like a real game in the NBA with his son, something nobody's ever accomplished and probably nobody ever will.
Does his son play for a different team?
The Lakers. He plays for the Lakers. So they got to play on the same team together.
On the same team. Oh, that's cool.
Just wild. Oh, man. I don't know. As a parent,
for athletes.
Yeah. As a parent, I don't know how you couldn't love that. That's just fantastic. I'll admit to everybody out there, again, not a big LeBron James fan. And I got teary thinking when that happened. I got all emotional about it. The idea of doing something like that with your kid, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Singer Ellie Goulding is 37 today. Good singer. She's had a couple of hits, I believe, at least. Let's see here.
English singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Singer Noel Paul Stukeley of Peter, Paul, and Mary is 86 today.
Really?
The wonderful, the amazing James Burrows is 83 today. Cheers, Taxi, so many big ones. Let's see here. Actor Shelley Lee Raphael is 68 today. A lot of people know her from Moesha, but you might know her now as from Abbott Elementary. She's wonderful on that show. It's really cool to see her. She got her niche. She found her spot. She's been a great character actor for a very long time and done some really good work. This is her role. Like, she's just killing it on that show and has been very, very good on it.
I'm trying to find what she was in Sister Act 2.
That's what, yeah, I knew she was in a big movie. I couldn't think of which one, though. Yeah. She's good. She's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all good. And thank you so much for getting us these birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We appreciate
Absolutely.
It. It's been a lot of fun.
Keep it up.
And keep getting them to us. Yeah, keep getting them to us. Listen to Melissa. Keep getting them to us.
There's more to come.
We'll have more to come coming up. And keep on listening to Melissa. We got our news coming up. We got a sports break, entertainment, and plenty more coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. churning and burning. They yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Bumpers are back. Hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. Thank you to Seth and the work he puts into these bumpers and everything.
Absolutely, but I miss the Christmas ones already.
I already do. I'm with you. I already do. I was actually all set. I had one in my mind. I was going to go to the purple snowflakes, and I'm like, oh, wait, it's not there. I hadn't looked at that. So I just went with right away just clicking on one. But some great ones up here, everybody. Seth put some new ones in there. That's fantastic. Really do appreciate the added effort you put into that, man. Nice work. We got a team of added effort around here, and a lot of people working hard on this one, on everything we're doing around here. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow with a kind of a year-end wrap-up show we'll be doing.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up the year, and a lot of businesses are looking at their bottom lines and the black and how they finish the end of the quarter, it's a bunch of talking points in a lot of the business world right now. There are some interesting things happening, I think, for just everybody, everyday news. And I don't know if anybody saw this or not, but I just wanted to touch on this headline. You can look into it more if you'd like to. Party City is closing down all of its stores, ending nearly 40 years in business.
Wow.
The people that worked at these businesses did not know, these establishments did not know. From everything we're being able to tell, it seems like it was a last second thing they dragged this out as long as they could, trying to make the business stay alive.
Yeah. And then couldn't do it. So suddenly it's, hey, Happy New Year, you're fired.
I feel for these people. I don't know that many couldn't have seen this coming. I don't know necessarily, what you could do. Or there's plenty of things you could do, maybe, to have stayed alive, and maybe there isn't. Who knows? Maybe they tried them and it didn't work. Again, there's plenty of details you can look into as far as the bankruptcy and collapse, the ending of this and everything. And I'll let you go ahead and look into that one if you care to, everybody. But I did think it was noteworthy to mention.
Yeah, and the thing to also focus on is loss of jobs. That's more. More people out of work.
A lot of approximately 6,400 full-time and 10,100 part-time jobs. Spirit Halloween has been is going to make up some of this. Some of the workers will be able to go there. There is already people being hired by Amazon and Walmart to that degree. And I know we do not give Amazon much credit for many things, especially right now. But they stepped in right away on this one and offered work to a lot of the employees from there. It's for many, it is a quick transition. The helium shortage actually played a big part in this. I thought that part was quite interesting, too.
Well, yeah, because Party City would be the place to go to get your, helium balloons or inflatable balloons for parties.
Yeah. Another one of those things we have not touched on very much, but, there is a shortage of helium, everybody, just so you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is one of those things that is not getting, because we're so busy, covering things that I don't think would deserve our time of day. And I don't mean us here. I mean as a national
media.
We
need to focus on things that will outrage people so we get clicks. Apparently,
right.
A helium shortage isn't one of those things.
Unfortunately. Noteworthy, Big Lots announced last Thursday it was starting going out of business sales at all of its locations after a plan for a private equity firm to rescue the bankruptcy retailer failed. Major chains are on track to close the highest number of stores in 2024 than in any year since 2020.
Wow. Yikes.
Again, noteworthy. And when we tell you to buy local, support local, we're not just saying it. It's not just a phrase or anything like that. There is some importance to that. And I bring this up not just because of our small businesses out there and so many businesses that are going to be opening in 2025 and so many things that we're looking to do just here locally in Wisconsin Rapids, let alone central Wisconsin, let alone the states, in 2025. Supporting local, buying local doesn't always just mean mom and pop businesses. A lot of franchises are run by your local neighbors and friends and family and everything.
Yeah.
It's important, I think, to look into these business. Look in, just like we tell people, and this really happened a lot during the pandemic. People started really caring more and more about, hey, if I donate $5 to this cause, how much of it actually goes to the cause?
Right.
And I'm proud of people for doing that kind of work. Mm-hmm. I think that's very cool. It's a similar thing with supporting local businesses. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, I don't want to go to that place because it's a big franchise. Well, look into it. Who's running that franchise?
Right. Is it locally managed? Mm-hmm. Are they hiring local? Are they putting money back into the local community? Because
yes.
That matters too.
You look at a Culver's. And Culver's, that's a big franchise. That's a big, big-time franchise. That's mm-hmm. a franchise that puts into their communities.
Right.
And
they're locally, you know, they're run locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't think of a more natural transition in talking business and something like that, Melissa, to handholding. Wait a minute. No, that doesn't. I had no segue. Here.
I don't want to hold your hand.
Don't want to hold. One of the monkeys really didn't have a hit with that one. I don't know what they were thinking with that one. Here is something you probably weren't thinking about today. What's your preferred way of holding hands with someone? Assuming that it's something you do from time to time. In a poll, 30% of people say that they prefer holding hands with interlocked fingers. 20% would rather do it with cupped hands. Mm-hmm. And 38% say that they're fine with both equally. And 4% said neither. No hand holding for me. Now, maybe I was going to make a joke about that, but I just thought about it. Maybe they mean the old school. Like, honestly, I don't mind hand holding, but I kind of like the whole putting the arm around each other. Like that, what do you call that? Locking arms? What would you call that?
I don't know. You put your arm around someone.
Am I describing this right? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Of course I know what you're talking about, but I don't know that it has a one-word term.
That wasn't on you, Melissa. That was on me as a describer. I didn't feel like I was doing a very good job
put
there.
Put your arm around someone. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
No, I guess, I mean, I think of hand-holding in a lot of different ways. Because, yeah, you hold hands with your romantic partner, but more often I would, like, hold a kid's hand.
Yes, yes.
Walking in a parking lot or across the street or something like that. Then interlocking fingers is not an option because they have little fingers.
Yeah, yeah. and with little hands, and that's what I was thinking of too, Melissa, with little hands, you're always cupping. Yeah, you're always cupping that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw this a while ago and a couple of years back even did this myself with a very, very cool five-year-old. The holding, two adults are holding the kid's hands. And you do the, and you lift them up or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. All the different games you play during doing that. I love that still exists, that's still a thing. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The results are similar for both men and women, but they are very different depending on age. Holding mm-hmm. hands with interlocked fingers is much more popular among younger generations than older. 38% of
they have younger joints.
Yes. 38% of Gen Zers like that method compared to just 17% of boomers. Mm. On the flip side, 15% of Gen Z prefer the cupped hands method compared to 29% of boomers.
I think it depends on the activity you're doing too, though. Because if you're just sitting holding hands, interlocked fingers are fine. But if you're walking holding hands, interlocked fingers are harder unless you have a comparable height.
Yeah, yeah. This changes with a lot of variables.
Right. They need more variables in this survey, James. I'm not satisfied.
So is this a change that just happens as you get older or because of your joints and everything, like Melissa was saying? Or is it a preferred method of holding hands shifting over time? Maybe maturity. Maybe you're not. I don't know. I've never, honestly, there are very few subjects I haven't given like extensive overthinking to. This has got to be one of them where I don't know if I've ever thought much about this other than, like I was saying, with, you know, you get to hold your kid's hand and, you know, getting mm-hmm. to shoof them up in the air and rocket ship and everything. I don't know. I do think one noteworthy thing about this that they did not mention in the survey, that we're still holding hands, that this is like, how old is hand holding?
Probably as old as humans.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're still, you know, it's still a thing. I don't expect people to, you know, rave about that when I'd be like blown away, like, oh my God, he's right. But when we think about gestures, when we think about things that, you know, we don't do anymore and how many things have been kind of faded out of our societies and stuff, mm-hmm. hand holding is still there.
Yeah. There are different methods of I don't know, showing respect or attention that we don't do. We don't bow or curtsy anymore very much in this country anyway. But yeah, I don't know. I liked hand-holding when I was in a relationship, but some people don't. You know, if yes. their love language is not physical touch and they don't like holding hands, you yeah. kind of lose that part of it.
And that's, you know, I don't know that it's important to who it's important to know about that. Mm-hmm. Potentially since the earliest days of our species, there is no actual timeline for this, or nobody who really, you know, this was the first recorded bit of hand-holding or anything like that, but it's considered deeply ingrained behavior within the roots of our primate ancestors.
Well, and that makes total sense, because the first thing I brought up was holding a kid's hand to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And when you think about human evolution, I mean, we would have had to have done that to keep our little ones safe and with us and to keep them from wandering off. I mean, at some point in time, we designed harnesses and leashes, which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and for as much as we pick on, you know, oh, you put your kid in a leash, what, they're not a pet. Well, no, but they wander.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Toddlers wander.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Harnesses are amazing.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a time out. We're going to come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Oh, we got some 80s bumpers back. Okay. that made me feel a little bit better. Okay. I missed the Christmas ones, but that made me feel a little better.
All right.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Let's get into this one, Melissa. And as we wrap up the year, we need to take the wins. And you're going to see a lot of year-end reviews. And you're going to hear some from us even.
Yeah.
But we got stories that, you know, with all the Christmas talk and Hanukkah and holidays and New Year's talk and everything, there's stories that we did not get to touch on very much. And I don't know if anybody saw this one. But everybody, get ready to chant, USA! USA! We did it! We officially won the war against murder hornets!
Murder hornets.
Does anybody remember this?
Yes.
People were losing their minds about this.
Okay, but that was scary.
It was. You hear the term murder hornet, it should freak you out a little bit.
Right.
I feel like that's fair.
They would have had to have made like 6 movies about this, right?
Yes. I'm very disappointed. I love the Sci-Fi channel. I haven't watched it in a decade, but I love that channel. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't have more murder hornet movies. I feel like that's their wheelhouse. They really do this well.
Those will be coming, James.
They gotta be, right?
First, we had to get past the actual, like,
yeah, that's true.
Actually happening before we can make movies about it.
You thought you were safe from the murder hornet.
Exactly.
I love the idea of, but the murder hornets are actually like just like Jason or Freddy, or they're like the characters from horror movies or something.
Dressed
as a
hornet.
Yes, yeah. The Department of Agriculture.
Sorry. It's like the bee meets.
Yes, yes. You see
Kruger.
It. You see it too. Yeah. The Department of Agriculture announced this week that they have officially been eradicated in the U.S. They showed up in Washington State back in 2019, and everyone panicked. And then they're much bigger than normal hornets, up to 2 inches longer. Yeah, so that is something to be freaked out about.
That's a really big bee.
As the name suggests, they are more dangerous, too. Their sting hurts more, and their venom is more potent. But the bigger issue was that they can slaughter a whole hive of honeybees in 90 minutes.
Right. No, that's a problem.
The real term murder hornet was not for human beings, but more so for other bees and other,
right,
you know.
Right. We don't need to worry about them murdering us. But if they threaten our honey supply.
Yeah, that ain't cool. That ain't right story right there.
No.
Officials say they haven't been spotted in the U.S. since 2021, but they are now confident that they are officially gone.
Good.
They're going to keep a lookout, though.
Well, thank goodness, yes. You have to, obviously.
I am appreciative of this, and I don't think it gets talked about enough, of when it comes to these things, and we're like, hey, we're done with this, but we're not taking our eye off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's important.
We're not just going to assume that it's not a problem anymore, because they still exist elsewhere in the world.
One bug expert in Washington State said it's a pretty big win because bugs tend to be very tough to take down.
Yeah.
Quote, it is a rare day when the humans actually get to win one against the insects.
Yes. Because there's so many more of them than us.
Pretty wild when you think about that. That right there, and you know. But I think that, I don't know. I don't know that it's surprising. I think it's pretty wild. I don't know if it's surprising though. When you think about that, the idea that an expert saying this mean it has weight to it to me, and him saying that it's rare that we beat insects is pretty. Yeah.
But I mean, this was a pretty important one to beat. I mean, if it, you know, because you would not want them to get a firm foothold. Here. No, thank you. No.
Yes. And this might be something you already do, but it's got a name now. And have you seen TikTok's table pancake brunch hack?
No.
I have not either.
Okay. Well, neither of us are on TikTok. So no. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So for so it's for when you're out with friends and you want pancakes, because who doesn't? But you also want something savory. Eggs, bacon, hash browns, and pancakes is a lot for most people and more calories than anyone may want.
Or need.
So a, quote, table pancake is all about sharing. You all order whatever you want. And then you also order one pancake for the whole table, and you put it in the middle so everyone can have equal access.
Pancake family style.
Another option is to wait and order the pancake after your food arrives. Then it's like a breakfast dessert.
Dessert. You get,
I mean, I'm a big pancake guy, so I'm going to say if I do this with anybody, order two. Because I don't want to take too much.
Well, it depends on the restaurant, but most of them, the pancake is the size of the plate, like the dinner plate, not the salad plate, the dinner plate. They're huge.
These things would only become these things are becoming more and more popular with a lot of what we've talked about over the last couple of years with the rise of fast food and prices and it being more expensive than ever to go out and eat and a lot of those things.
Right.
We're seeing a lot more of these trends and a lot more of the younger generations really getting ahead of this stuff, I think, and being smart about a lot of these things.
Well, and also being realistic about, like, I don't know, you food serving sizes in restaurants in America are big, you know? Mm-hmm. It's usually more food than you really need for a meal. I appreciate that because I like taking the leftovers home. But that can be more difficult with breakfast foods.
Yeah.
I like the idea of sharing. I think that's, I like it. I think it's cool.
I love it. I love the idea. I'm all in favor for it. I would do this myself. I will say, though, this I am probably one of the few people affected by this. This would mess with me. In many ways, I don't know necessarily. According to therapy, this comes from wanting my brother and sister to eat before me. But I am in a place where it doesn't matter if I'm around strangers or family or friends or whatever. I get my food last. I always get my food last. I want everybody to get what they want, get their portions, get that, you know, that chicken leg that they want instead of the breads or whatever, and then I go get my food. So if I'm doing this, I'm like waiting for everybody to take their piece of the pancake before I'm grabbing mine or anything. So put a second pancake out there. That's all I'm going to say. I think.
All right, two for James. Got it.
Am I the only person like that? I can't be, right?
No, mothers everywhere, James.
Right.
Yeah, all mothers do that.
I'm sorry, I was thinking outside of like parents and everything. I should have said that. You're right. You're 100% right.
My grandma always ate cold food.
Yeah.
Cold, and she always just ate whatever was left because that's just what mothers did.
Yeah. Yeah. And we appreciate that out of every single one of you out there.
I have to say, though, when you were talking about like the pancake on the table, you know what came to mind was people who are covering their tables with tinfoil and then dumping out like an entire kettle full of spaghetti noodles and then the sauce on it and just giving everybody a fork.
I thought that's where this was
going. Just eat off the table. Yeah, that's totally what I thought it was.
100%.
I was picturing like pancakes stacked across the tinfoiled covered table and then dumping syrup over the whole thing because I would also do that.
As much as it may sound like I'm making fun of it, I actually kind of think it's fun and interesting and part of our country. But this is what we do here. Like charcuterie boards weren't enough. We got to turn the whole table into one.
It's one giant buffet we're all eating off of because what, germs? Who needs those?
And I haven't seen any in a long time, but I love some of the videos I saw of that of like these really fancy, beautiful like kitchens and kitchen tables and people just throwing a tarp on there.
Or the kids kids' faces when they're doing it. Like, yes. What's happening right now? What are you doing? Whoa, that's like all of the, okay. And then they're like throwing the garlic bread at them.
That does seem like it would be a lot of fun. That does I would want to do one of those, actually, now that we're talking about it. It seems like it'd be fun to do. It would be a good time. We've got fun things coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour, everybody. We're going to kick it off the way we like to with the kitchens open.
Kitchen's open.
Looking forward to that. We're going to talk about when Wicked will be hitting streaming. We'll get into that as well. I've got some other fun ones for you.
Yes, I'll have to share about the movie that I went and saw this weekend.
Yes.
I saw a movie this weekend, James.
Woo! That's noteworthy right there. There's the headline.
But I'm not going to tell you what it was.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. We got all that coming up for you. We're looking forward to. I did real quick want to remind everybody about some opportunities for you to donate if you can, especially as we're getting towards the end of the year here, and our blood supply is low. It has been really since, I would say, June. It's been low. If you are able to be a hero and donate, we greatly appreciate you doing that. There are a number of opportunities. Some going on, well, you might not think of it. A lot of people have time off now. You know, and away from work or something. So in Stevens Point, they have blood donation opportunities going on today from noon to 7 over at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center at 320 1C Main Street. There is also opportunities coming up here in Wisconsin Rapids this Thursday from 10 to 3 over at McMillan Library.
Nice.
And we've got some other things to tell you about McMillan Library coming up a little bit later today in Midday Magazine. More of that in the 9 o'clock hour and plenty more of Melissa and James right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.